Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today is Tell Del Tuesday, and we have a great guest that is a new Lifestyles member. And I say new as in relatively new, and just beginning the process, so it's going to be interesting to hear his perspective on the journey. And with us today is Keenan Kindle out of Houston, Texas. Keenan, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Del. Good morning. I'm glad to be here.
All right, I'm glad to have you on here. Don't be so shy. Come on now. Just because you're just getting started. It is early in the morning. I know that, so we'll get you woke up here. So first question is, what do you do now? I hear that in your resume here, you're still working. What do you do now?
I enforce development permits in Harris County. So, yes, still working. I've been working about 6 years now full-time right out of school. And fortunately, I found you guys right out of school, right when I started working. So took advantage of learning the information and taking action.
Development permits. Boy, you must be either loved or hated in your life, huh?
Most of the time loved, not initially, but after I get to working with people, I definitely help them out of getting out of trouble.
Man, I can see it. That's quite a job right there, man, to tell people yes and no in life. You know, you can't go forward. Yes, you can. It's going to be quite the experience. Well, at least you get that out of the way young, huh?
100%, especially when they own their own property. So you're right.
That's great. All right. So you got into that, but you said you heard about real estate earlier. What spurred you into wanting to get into real estate, and how did you find us?
Just like a lot of people say, Robert Kiyosaki, I read a very reasonable portion of the book, maybe 60% of the book. That's why I was introduced to the idea of assets and real estate as being an asset that you can have to have passive income. Right when I started working, I had an aunt who had recently became a realtor in about 2017, and I had just met with her. I rarely meet with her, probably met with her once or twice over the last 5 or 6 years, and she just told me about becoming a realtor. And I asked her if she had anybody in the office that she was working at. She was working at Keller Williams at the time. She's no longer working there now. But I asked her if she could find somebody who had experience investing that could do mentoring. And she gave me two words, Lifestyles Unlimited, said that somebody that was mentoring her as a realtor suggested that it'd be a great place to learn. And all I did is went online and went from there. And, man, that changed my life. Two words. Very powerful.
Wow, that's great. That really is. So I have to ask you this, because being an interviewer, my job is to dig deep. And I have to ask this question because it seemed like you're relatively young. How old are you?
I'm 29.
Okay. So what is it about you read 60% of the book? I have to know. You can't let that one just drop on the table and go, I read 60% of the book and walked away. What happened? Cool. The other 40%.
I know, right? That's a really good question. I think when you're introduced, personally, my experience, I didn't grow up doing a lot of reading. Just part of my household, it wasn't something that we did a lot. We would watch more things than we read. But I think when you're introduced to a new concept, especially in a thick book like Rich Dad Poor Dad, although it was relatively simple to read, the concept is so new and incredible because it's so different than what you typically heard. It takes a while to digest it. So I said 60% to illuminate on the fact that just 60% of that book changed my entire perspective about earning money and the options you had to do that. And just with, you know, pretty much half the book, that led me to you guys. And I don't know if I would have read the whole thing. I most likely would have got more, but sometimes it's important to read what changes your perspective and take action.
They say when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. If nothing else, it gave you that thought process to look for the teacher. So that worked out fine. Have you ever read the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill?
No, I can't say I've read it completely. I've poked at it, but I hadn't read it nowhere near its entirety.
I'm going to challenge you to go read that book and everybody else out there in the audience. I'll tell you what happened. When you read the book, it starts by telling you that on every page of this book is the secret to financial success, to becoming wealthy, happy, successful. On every page, it says, however, you're not ready for that information. You'll read the page and it'll go right over your head. You won't know what you're missing. He said, so read the book all the way through and then come back and read each paragraph by itself and learn something from the paragraph, or not paragraph, each chapter, and then, you know, so on and so forth. So I went and I did that. I read the whole book, highlighted it in yellow, things I thought was important. Then I went back and read the book again, highlighted it in green, went back again, highlighted it in orange, went back again, highlighted it in red. And what was interesting was, and why it made me do it, to be honest with you, Keenan, is that when I read the book again, the stuff that I had highlighted in yellow, that I thought was the most important stuff, the stuff that was going to change my life, right? The really big points. I go, this is baby stuff. Why did I even highlight this? I don't get it. And, oh, my God, look at this next idea. Now, that's the one I needed right there. And what it happens is that the stuff you read, you become. Right? So right now, your friends, you probably rattled off to them by why they need to be in real estate, right? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
100%.
Does that happen to you? That now you're the expert in why they should be doing real estate?
Yep. It's hard to explain without, you know, knowing the education behind it. You know, you see people's eyes kind of get big, and it just seems like so much overwhelming. But, of course, you got to take it one step at a time. But, yeah, I've definitely tried. It is definitely hard to convince somebody.
Well, I think you need to read Think and Grow Rich. I want you to read that book between you and me, and then we'll discuss that. We'll have you back on. We'll discuss that book because that book changed my life. It was just unbelievable. Now, by the way, Rich Dad, Poor Dad's a good book. It's really interesting. Points that he makes, too, so that's all good. So you went to the free workshop, and then you came in. What was the next event you attended?
The next event, fortunate for me, in 2019, it was actually the last 2-day that you did, but I signed up that Thursday. The following, I think, month or so, the next event I went to was actually the last 2-day that you taught, Dale, from 2019 up until the next time I seen you at a 2-day was probably 2023 after COVID. So I was able to get you as a 2-day presenter that, you know, next month on the first 2-day event. And that was game changing.
So let's talk about the aha moments for you. I mean, you've got some general idea of what you think this is all about. Then all of a sudden, I slam you. Boom. Wait a minute. You know, it's counterintuitive. Everything you thought was real isn't real. Everything that I'm telling you to do, you don't think is the right thing to do. How did that all fit in your mind as you tried to put that back together, take that puzzle I tore apart and put back together?
So for me, the light bulb moment came on, or the aha moments in the 2-day, just the idea that taxes could, you know, basically allow the income from real estate assets to be tax deferred to the point where all the money that you generate from a passive asset could be pretty much all come into your pocket when you consider, you know, what you earn from each investment. So I was thinking you work actively and then they take, you know, 20%, 30%, 40% when it all said and done. But when you get it passively, the tax advantages are aligned to help you get it all without having to pay taxes or at least tax deferred. I thought that was crazy. I was like, it's almost like the tax code incentivizes you to invest, but the average day person ignores that because we don't know it.
Well, it is designed to incentivize you. That's a good point. But looking at it from, if you pulled back and said, okay, I'm a Democrat, and look at it, you'd have to lose your mind because what you said is true. You're talking about you go out there and work and struggle and earn, and they take anywhere from 15 to 35% of your income as income tax. That's just national. Then they take 7 to 15% on Social Security and Medicare, depending on if you work for yourself or not. And then if you're in a state, they take another 5 to 10, 12%. So, I mean, you literally, most people in this country pay close to 50% in taxes that work. And yet investors pay nothing. It just blows your mind, doesn't it? Doesn't it? If you were a Democrat, I'd be out there cutting my wrists right now.
It's crazy. And when the way you orated and explained it, you brought the intensity to the fact of how ridiculous somebody would want. I mean, how ridiculous you'd have to be to want to not be an investor, if that makes sense, especially in real estate.
Well, let's take it from this point of view. I think it's a good point you make, and that is, hey, if I'm making $100,000 a year and I would like to replace my earned income with passive income, and I don't have to pay 50% in taxes, that means I only have to earn $50,000. Now, in most cases, if you're starting out, you're not earning that much money to be in that bracket. But let's just say you only have to earn, you only have to earn $60,000 to replace $100,000. And if you only make $50,000 a year, that means you only have to make $30,000 to replace your income. I mean, you're living at exactly the same level and doing nothing. It's just an amazing concept. So that is a really good aha moment. Anything else stuck out to you?
To me, I would honestly, I'm glad you said that, because that's actually one of the second ones, now that you brought it up, that I feel like I remember experiencing. Okay, well, because of the tax rate that you experience as a W-2 worker, to replace your income and assets, it's a lot less. You're thinking the gross income is what you have to replace, but it's the net. And when you put that in perspective, all you're missing from there is frugality. As long as you're frugal, you're spending less than that. So to replace just the expenses you have and experience all your active income being at your disposal in order to invest in future assets, you know, it's a snowball. You know, it's a income snowball.
Keenan, you just explained it probably better than I've ever said it myself, and I'm going to probably steal some of what you just said and put it in my seminar just because of the phraseology. I like your phraseology, and that is, hey, if you're making 50 and you're living on 30 and you want to get anywhere in life, you're saving some money. You're being, the term you said, frugal. You know, you're not spending every bit of that $30,000 a year. You're saving $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, whatever a year. And that money, you know, they say you should save 10%. So you save 10% of $30,000 you're taking home. That would be $3,000. And you can go buy a rent house with that. And that's how you build your wealth. The point that's important, though, for people, and this, we haven't even got to this point in this understanding of you and I and where you're going on this trip, is that someday when you finally do replace your earned income and you are living on passive income and it's the same amount, so you're living on the same $30,000, you still can save the $3,000, which means you can buy more real estate, which means every year for the rest of your life, you're going to buy more real estate. You're going to have more income coming in. The more income you have coming in, if you're frugal, the more money you're going to save, the faster your wealth is going to grow, and it becomes, like you said, an income snowball. So hats off to you. That's a great explanation.
Thank you. Thank you. I've been a great student of yours, so that's where it's coming from.
That's great. So I'm glad you brought that up, and I hope that you're on that snowball effect going forward. Have you been saving still and growing?
Great, yes. Like I say, after I bought the three houses that I currently have, took some time to focus on getting married with my wife. So took a little sidestep, but definitely going back on the track. You know, all the houses are rented, making cash flow, offsetting my expenses. So it's very easy to save up a massive amount.
You know, one of the chapters in Think and Grow Rich, believe it or not, Keenan, is that married men are more successful than single men. And single men don't seem to think that, but married men, they say, look, you stop going out on the town, spending all your money, getting drunk, staying out late, using up all your energy hunting, right? You're hunting for the girl. And yeah, when all the hunting ends and you go home at night and get to go to sleep at a regular time, don't waste all your money. Somebody helps you, you know, plan for the future and give you goals. Think and Grow Rich seems to think that marriage is one of the most important aspects of life. As a young guy, how do you see that?
I see it as being appropriate. I think for me, I've been with my wife, you know, dating her for 10 years before we got married. You know, she was patient enough to wait. However, you find a lot more drive, right? Because you're, like you say, you're not chasing any other women. You're not, you know, keeping up with, you know, the latest fashion or whatnot.
Gotcha. We'll be right back with Kenan Kendall and the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Teaching you with a roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Walmsley Radio Show returns in moments.
Life is challenging and ever-changing. Take control with passive income through real estate investing. Learn how. Learn now. Let Del Walmsley and Lifestyles Unlimited's investors and mentors show you. Meet Del's team and get educated now at Lifestyles Unlimited. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited. Text radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007.
You're hearing the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. With me here today on Tell Del Tuesday is Kenan Kendall. And Kenan, as we come back, let's talk about the deals that you purchased. You have three single-family houses. Why don't you walk us through that? How did you find the first deal, and what did it look like? How did you do it?
Of course, after getting the education first and foremost, I got in contact with the Lifestyles realtors that you guys have for members to use exclusively. And, you know, looked at a lot of deals. I walked a lot of houses. But to be honest with you, Dell, I was terrified of pulling the trigger. So much so that I think the first two or three houses I got under contract with, of course, I found a reason to pass up on them. The house I ultimately ended up purchasing was at a point when I came to the realization that I'm going to have to take action on one house and make sure that I just, you know, do the best I can to make it a good investment, and end up finding one in the south side of Houston, southeast side of Houston. And it was come so damaged and so in disrepair that I didn't even feel comfortable standing up straight inside of the house. I had my back hunched over, fearful that the roof was going to cave in while I was viewing it. But I decided that was the one, right? That was the one, because I had just, you know, passed over on so many. And I ultimately ended up taking the deal on that one, and it's been the best investment still so far that I have.
Well, tell us about it. What kind of price did you pay for, and what was it worth after you renovated it? What did you put into it? What kind of money did you make with it?
So it was $77,000, three-bedroom, one-bathroom, and I converted it into a four-bedroom, one-bathroom. It was like a one-car garage that was in there that was that we converted into a bedroom. It was $77,000. I had to put another $75,000 in order to rehab it. But that was right at the time where the houses were going up extremely in value. I bought it like at the end of 2021. If you remember, during that time, the houses skyrocketed from the quantitative easing of our government. And during that time, the appraisal came back at, we expected it to be, you know, 165, 170, but it ended up coming back at 197 at the time, or 187, I believe. And so it created a lot of room for me to be able to do those repairs at that amount and still have a sizable amount of equity in the house. So I ended up, you know, being able to really make a house happen that I think, had that time not happened, I don't think that house would have been as viable because it sat on the market for a while.
Yeah, it's interesting because as a beginner, I think that most people, you know, first of all, you're very much afraid. We're all scared to death to do something we've never done before, especially when it means investing. But to go out there and to think that, okay, I'm going to buy a house. And when you're buying a house for yourself and your wife and you look at it and you're going, I want the most beautiful, great neighborhood. You've got all these expectations. And I liken it going to a fancy shoe store and you're buying the most expensive shoe you can find and they have it in your size and everything's perfect. Whereas this is like, you know, going out on the street and looking through the trash can looking for a shoe. It might fit, you know. It's like, oh my God, you just can't. I can't do that. I can't pull these shoes out of this trash can. And, you know, is there two of them? And do they fit? And, oh my God, why don't they have them in my size? It's just, you can talk yourself out of it 1,000 different ways. And so I guess you do have to just pick one and go for it. Just on a side note, there's nothing in your bio about this, but have you ever gone into a house and gone, I don't think they have permits for this house?
Oh, sure. I mean, sure. Fortunately, the house I bought was in a different jurisdiction than I'm in. But definitely, yeah, I can tell to an extent. But different regulations apply in different areas. So I'm not as aware of the codes as much as I would be in my own jurisdiction. But I can tell, you know, for the most part, you can tell stuff that the city wouldn't have allowed or permitted. But some things are more severe than others. And fortunately, this house didn't, you know, footprint was still the same. It seemed like that was as much of a concern or issue from my perspective at that time.
I was more asking on my own edification, my own laugh, internal laugh, that I can see you walk up to a house I'm taking you to and go, hey, what do you think of this one? It's out of code. Go, of course it is, you idiot. That's why we're buying it.
Yeah, I know.
Everything in it's out of code. I mean, that's why we're getting it for 50 cents on the dollar. My God. By the way, the FTC has made a decision. I got to let everybody know this on the radio. I'm going to have to start getting used to this. I have to tell everybody out there that any particular deal that we show you does not represent the results that you may, in your experience, end up with. Because there's different people and they're willing to work different amounts, they have different intelligence, they work harder. There's different deals, there's different cities, there's different locations, there's different interest rates. Everything is a variable, and there's no way that any one deal that we can explain to you could ever be representative of what in the future you or anyone else would get. Boy, isn't that a nice disclaimer, Keenan? The FTC wants that kind of stuff now, so we're going to start putting that stuff on everything, man. Do you know Bob? I don't know. Give me the disclaimer. How well do you want me to know him before I say I know him? You know, it's kind of funny. 35 years, we've been telling people about deals for 35 years, and now the FTC comes along and says, you know, you can't tell people about deals anymore. That's unfair. I go, well, how do I teach if I don't show them what we do? Right. And they go, well, then you better disclose that that's not what everybody gets. OK, you're right. They don't. You know, some people get nothing. Right. They join up and then they kick tires for ever and ever and ever and never do anything. So the results will vary. There we go. All right. Moving on. So you got that one out of the way. How did it feel to get that out of the way?
Dale, it was definitely scary, like I say, from the beginning, but through the process. There's nothing more empowering than to realize that you're able to buy anything for that matter and fix it up in a way that creates income that you can control. I think for a W-2 worker, that was the most incredible part of the process. I think once I went through the rehab and seen, of course, how incredible you can make a house, even if it is distressed, you know, I was a true believer. But when I got that first rent check, I was literally sitting on a couch, and I remember at that time the cash flow was $357, and it was just, you know, wired to me while I was literally sitting on a couch. And I personally, and I'm sure for any W-2 employee that has worked for a living, I had never experienced getting money all of a sudden that I didn't have to go trade my time for. So for me, realizing the first, literally the first check, oh, wow. So that work that I did is going to be, you know, paying me in years to come as long as I take care of the house. It was that experience of literally laying on the couch and getting that cash was incredible. And it taught me, wow, there is another option than trading your time for money where you can create income. And, of course, if you think about it on scale, how much time do I spend taking care of this one? It's very likely that I can do the same thing for 5, 10 others.
No doubt. What hit me exactly the way it hit me was the first check I got. I remember the rent was like $500 a month. And my mortgage payment was $280 a month. So it was like a $220 positive cash. And I thought to myself, you know, I work in a health club. We sell memberships. We do about $200,000 a month in membership sales. And I take all that money. I collect all those checks, all those credit card slips. I put it in a bag and we send it up to the main office. And then once every other week, they send me this little piece of check for a couple $1,000. I go, wait a minute. I just gave you $500,000 of sales. Exactly. You gave me $2,000 check.
Yep.
And when I saw that now I'm the man, right?
Yep.
I get the check and all that money, that there was $500 coming to me. No one was taking a piece of. You know, that rent check was mine. That blew me away.
It is incredible. And you have to feel it to understand that feeling. It's really hard to understand that concept, in my opinion. With all the learning I did beforehand, it's hard to understand it until you experience it. But once you taste it, you know, it's an addiction. It's very hard to see anything different.
Interesting point. It is addictive. There's no doubt about it. Because you have one, you want another one, don't you?
100%.
I'm almost 70 years old. I see stuff and I want it. It's amazing. You go, just one more. Come on. Why not? You know, I know you're almost 70, but why not? One more. You can do it. And it just keeps coming at you. Because you go, well, I don't know. And no matter how much you make, and I make quite a bit, no matter how much you make, you're like, but what if I made just that much more, right? It's amazing. It really is amazing. How long did you wait to do number two?
The second one I bought the following year.
How long did you wait to get into your third one, Kenan?
8 months later, I bought the third one. So, and that was with the help of my wife. Me and her were saving together and was able to buy the third one faster. So every deal I bought, the subsequent deal, feels like I bought it faster.
So how did your wife help in making it faster? I'm curious.
Just being willing to, you know, after seeing the evidence, right? Like I say, sometimes you have to see it to believe it. You know, the first two, or the first one, I stayed with my parents and saved up in order to purchase. The second one, I ended up getting a second job to make that one happen. And after seeing that success, my wife was, okay, yeah, I'm on board now. I want to be a part of it. And so that's what made the third one happen.
All right. Well, it's good to have support, you know, when you're doing stuff like this. That's really good. What was the third one like, and how much easier was it? Or was it? Sometimes by the time you get to second or third, when you start getting gutsy and do some crazy stuff, other times it just becomes like rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat. How did it work out for you?
Agreed. It's interesting, Dale, because, of course, the first one was nerve-wracking. The second one, I'm not going to say it was completely stress-free. It was still a little nerve-wracking, but what I tried to achieve on the second one was going to the house less, right, because I trusted the contractors I used on the first house to do the second. But, Dale, by the third, man, I experienced something that I didn't expect. It almost felt normal. And to me, that was very strange to experience making that big of a purchase. A purchase that most people, you know, spend their whole life trying to achieve and only do once, to look at that as if it's a normal experience. And I only went to that house three times, even till today, right? Anything goes on, I have a contract to go out there. And having to be that hands-off with it, it's almost like it happened without me having to do much other than, of course, write the checks necessary to make it happen.
Wow, that's an interesting statement there. It became normal. And I understand what you're saying. I've gone through it. It's just like, okay. And it's funny. It starts out with houses. It got to be that way with me for houses. You know, it was like one and two. I bought one. Then I bought three more the next month. So I had four. And then I started buying them as fast as I could buy them. And then I found some place I could buy 10 of them all together. And I bought 10. Found another place I could buy 11 altogether. I bought 11. Found another place I could buy 15 duplexes, which was 30 single-family houses. I bought 30 all at one time. And like you said, it's just like, yeah, okay. I got it. Yeah. No big deal. You know, it's just I came up with the saying, it's just sheetrock, carpet, and paint. There's nothing there, right? It's a slab on some of them. Some of them's the other kind of foundation, pier and beam. But other than that, it's just sheetrock, carpet, and paint. I mean, whatever's wrong could be fixed. And then it's all about putting a tenant in there that's the right tenant. And if you'd put the right one in, and by the way, how have you done on choosing your tenants so far? What's your grade on tenant choice?
Oh, I definitely, you know, follow the education and screened every tenant I put in the house. And I have had not one tenant not pay when they stayed in the house for a month, or, you know, pay their monthly rent for the time of stay. No tenant has done any damage whatsoever to the houses. Have had no problems with them not being willing to pay, complaining to pay, nothing. Nothing but thank you, Dale. Every single tenant I've had thank me when I confirm that I received the rent. That right there is the craziest experience. You get people thanking you for paying you. I you know, I can say W-2 mentality, you know, you're used to being the one thanking for getting paid, not necessarily the other way around.
That's so funny. Yeah, the thing that blew my mind with it was I've been in sales starting my whole life. I mean, the jobs that I was able to obtain with no college degree, basically you have to be a salesman of some kind. And I remember just, you know, hardcore pressure selling people things, both in the financial industry and then later in the health club industry and so forth. And then all of a sudden it's like, I'm not selling somebody. Somebody wants my product so bad, I'm saying, no, stop, back off.
Exactly. And it's the
get back. We got to do some screening here first, buddy. You can't just give me your money. But, man, I'm parked out front. I'll move in today. I'll give you my money. Please let me move in. I see that it's almost ready to go. Come on, please. No, you can't. That's a hard thing to change, isn't it?
It really is, and you got to think about it. It's the biggest expense a person has. So when you look at real estate as an investment, the biggest expense somebody has on a monthly basis, they're begging you to pay. It's so oxymoronic. You like to say a lot on the radio.
Yeah, I love that word.
You don't expect that. You do not expect that. You expect to have to, like you said, pressure sell. Hey, come on, no, my house is ready. You know, and it's not like that. Not when you do it right.
Yeah. Then you turn that around, though, and you see people that don't listen to me, and they're, like, out there begging people to rent their house, and some purple Martian dude's going, like, boy, this guy's a sucker. I see this guy coming. When the purple Martian gets done with that kind of person, the guy standing there at the curb with the tenant moved out and the house destroyed, and he's got the underwear on his head with the brown stripe in the middle, he's looking out the leg holes going, what happened? What happened? I thought real estate was easy. Well, real estate is easy. People are difficult. And if you don't know how to recognize a purple Martian, then you need some more training, because they will make this whole experience terrible. Well, I'm glad that you picked good tenants. That's gone well. So just a minute left to go here real quick. What's your future? What are you going to do next?
Definitely the first goal is just focusing on, you know, offsetting my expenses, right? So having the assets cover all my main expenses. And I'm continuing to grow from there, right? Making it normal and, you know, a normal part of every year of my life, just constantly building investments and building the wealth that can be generational.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, appreciate you coming on, Keenan. I really do. And for the rest of you out there, remember this. It's not the money. It's the lifestyle. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.